Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Who are the coolest dudes on the planet?
United States veterans.
What's the coolest sport on the planet?
Pro wrestling.
And what would be the coolest podcast on the planet? That would be this one.
U.S. military vets talking pro wrestling.
This is the No Shave Man Cave. Two badass disabled vets sharing their love of pro wrestling, giving you their perspective as fans, talking about current events and matches, history of titles, and who knows what else. Let's do it.
Welcome to the No Shave Men Cave. Now your hosts, Ellie Jair and Jay Tilly.
Welcome back, my friends. If you're new, then welcome in. Patriot Sports Live. My name is Eric. I'm your host. Glad to have you with us. Thank you for all those reviews. We got everybody except Coach here tonight. We got a six-panel situation. John's here. He brought the headband. Angela, not to let John be outdone, also brought a headband. Chris is here making the show work, bringing the people on. We got a couple of guests. The guys from the No Shave Man Cave are joining us. Talks of pro wrestling. That's a great name for a show right there. There are a couple of vets who bought microphones to talk about the stuff they love. I think we can relate to that. Jay Tilly and Ellie Jair is what they're going by. Welcome to Patriot Sports Radio. Thanks for your time. How are you guys doing?
Oh, man, we're doing great. Thank you so much for having us on. This is cool. Excited to talk to you guys. And like you said, a couple disabled vets love talking about wrestling. And we're like, hey, why don't we do this like on a podcast medium? And people seem to like it, so we're going to keep doing it.
Heck yeah, we do it at work. We do it on the way home. Don't make it weird. And that's what we're here for. Super super pumped, and thank you for having us here with the crew. We wish the coach was here to lead us to the finish line. So we'll try and contribute as best we can. And thanks again. Appreciate the invite.
He's out there furthering his education, expanding his options.
I thought he was filibustering at his HOA.
That could be.
That is 100% probably is what's happening. And then taco night. Nope, Thursday, barbecue night. My bad. Sorry, coach, barbecue night. Yep. I'm off.
How about we just skip the whole HOA? He's probably trying to defund the whole thing as we speak. So, guys, the question everybody always asks when you come on somebody's podcast, how did you get started? How did the idea come about? And then, you know, we know from experience there's a lot of action that takes place before you actually press record. So how did that whole process start?
You want to start or do you want me to start?
Well, yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah. So we started, we were talking smack at work one day, and I'll let JT get into the emotional part of it. But we, as a couple of disabled vets on a fixed income, we wanted to do something a little bit different, expand our horizons. And we currently work for a very large organization that has known to carry things from A to Z, and we're ready to, you know, do something else. So we were sitting around talking one day, and JT was like, hey, why don't we do this thing? And I'll tag out and hand it over to my partner.
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly it. We were in the office a normal day-ish that you can have in that company that sells things, but decided to, you know, we have a tendency to go on rants when we watch wrestling. And I like to, you know, look at the future and figure out what we're going to, like, oh man, where's the booking going to go? And he's very much a historian. And we started going back and forth. I'm like, man, we should record this and put it out there because I like listening to it. And we listen to other podcasts. And there's a lot of wrestling podcasts that are, you know, former wrestlers, former managers, former stars. And we're just two dudes that like to talk about it. And that's exactly where it went. And we came up with the idea about a year ago, went to one of the pay-per-views that All Elite Wrestling does, Forbidden Door in Chicago. Had a blast there and did a couple little short things there. Didn't think much of it. Got back and sitting in the man cave up here one day. And I'm like, hey, let's record real quick. And we did our first episode on the fly. No script, no idea what we're going to do. I'm like, hey, man, let's hit record and talk about what got us into wrestling. And that was the first episode was we like wrestling. This is what our story was getting into wrestling. This is what we, you know, our story, like growing up, like my mom hated me watching it. So I'd sneak and watch it and all that stuff. And that was our first episode. And we have gone since then. It's been a lot of work, a lot more than I thought it was going to be starting off. You know, I'll record. And next thing I know, like 6 hours later, I'm still editing up, you know, this guy's deep breathing in the mic or whatever the case is. But it's been a lot of
fun. Don't make it weird.
Yeah. Or make it weird. But yeah, we have a blast. And then we're starting to tie in as we're getting more comfortable talking about it. We're tying in a lot of our military background too, and talking kind of more about how some of the storylines in wrestling can relate to real life, and you know how it's like. Well, I remember I had this chief once that treated me like that, so it's kind of neat to have that other perspective. And then one of the things that when we started this talking about was he and I are both vets. Obviously, I did 24 years in the Air Force. He did. I think you beat me by what, 3? You did 27 in the Marines.
Yeah, 28 glorious years. Yeah.
Awesome.
And one of our biggest things is, so I think what turned Chris on to us and everything was we release on the 22nd, we do a mental health awareness show. And that's all we talk about. We tell our stories, how we dealt with depression or PTSD or whatever those cases are. We have a buddy that's a suicide survivor. He comes on and talks. And that's kind of one of the things that from the beginning, we wanted to do was, yes, we're going to talk wrestling, but we also want to put stuff out there to help people, to give an outlet to come talk if they want to talk or whatever the case may be. So that's kind of like the 22nd every month is our big show. I'm like, this is the one I get pumped for. And then, yeah, the wrestling is great too. And we're trying to sprinkle the other stuff in.
That's pretty cool, man. I read a stat not too long ago that 80% of suicides are men. You don't hear that a lot. It doesn't get a lot of airplay. So it's nice to hear that people are doing something about it.
Yeah, and the significance on the 22 is 20 on average, 22 veterans commit suicide every day. So it's a huge deal. And it started actually the 22nd came from Jared there. He every 22nd does his buddy check-ins and reaches out to all of his friends just to check in how they're doing.
Awesome.
And I'm like, you know what? Cool. Let's just do it nationwide. Let's just do it for everybody. And that's kind of where it started coming from. And that's gonna be our tradition going forward.
You guys are amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
welcome to the family.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
yeah, so we started
a bunch of stuff that really jives with everything we're about. So
cool. Yeah,
we're fans already. My mom, shout out mom, she was always cool with me watching wrestling. I got a babysitter fired once because she made me go to bed before wrestling started. And she was told explicitly that I was allowed to watch wrestling. I don't know if her boyfriend was coming over. She wanted to have some hippie lettuce or what, but that was the last time she babysat me.
Wow. Shout I could out not to tell the on shout her out.
Call me, don't play that. Yeah. Watching wrestling Ultimate tonight.
Was playing Bret Hart, and I missed it. And there's no DVR. There's no.
No, not yeah.
Even. I'm going to hear y'all
know what
I'm
talking about.
Eric Gator don't play no shit.
There was no YouTube to jump on and catch it later.
No.
Once you missed it, if it didn't come out on Blockbuster, then you missed it.
You had to look through that TV guide and hope they were rerunning a WWF from 2 weeks ago or something.
Yeah. I used to get the VHS tapes of like ECW or like some of the backyard stuff. That's how much I was into it. I was like, hey, who's got the good stuff, man? Who's got the good stuff? And we'd get some of that old ECW tape and whew.
Yep. Back in the day, you got some tape trading going on.
Yep.
I had a buddy. My
brother, I remember we used to get in so much trouble just like trying to annihilate each other, jumping off. My mom would get so pissed.
I landed on the corner of an open drawer, jumping off the top of a dresser onto a bed, doing some kind of suplex situation. Yeah, the 80s were wild.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
My sister got put in the figure four in the Boston, you know, all those moves just to try them out. I'm like, they don't really hurt.
Bunk beds.
Like, yes, they do.
Yeah, we had bunk beds.
I caught the corner of a table and busted my eye open and woof.
Right here. I have a line.
I didn't get in any trouble. I was the baby of five. My sister.
Well, you could do no wrong.
Oh, yeah. My sister grabbed me. And we were all slowly just growing into wrestling fans. I saw Jerry Lawler when I went and visited my sister who was stationed. She was in the Army. She was stationed in Kentucky, and I got to go visit her. And I saw Jerry the King Lawler in 79 throw a fireball. And I was like, that's it. That's amazing. And my sister tried to emulate a move, and bow! Oh. So... there goes the moneymaker.
Yeah.
I see a little Jerry Lawler in him, don't you?
Yeah,
maybe it's because he's talking about
I went into a console TV, those big ones that sat on the floor, and I got the corner right. It's like, I don't know, 11 stitches as like a 8 or 9 year old. That's a lot.
That thing, those TVs were a piece of furniture. I had a friend who had these tapes. Maybe you can identify them. I don't remember what it was called. It was, I think, filmed in Japan. And Mankind was in there a lot. I think the commentators were Insane Clown Posse, and they were using like razor wire and thumbtacks and busting each other through windows.
Yeah.
What the hell was I watching?
So if it was Japan, it was probably All Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yep.
Or it was, I can't remember the other name, but they had a spinoff one that was all death matches.
And they don't BS over there.
That's where those death matches started, and they do some nasty stuff when they get into them. I've watched matches where guys will take the skewers you'll use for food and stuff and jam them in the top of your heads and hammer those in. I watched a death match recently. Well, not recently. I guess it was about 6-8 months ago where a dude almost bled out because he took a light tube and they broke it over him. Well, then he decided to gash the guy. We cut the artery under his arm.
Oh my God. Hey, you got a palate cleanser over there, Eric? And do you have a palate cleanser in your notepad over there? I need one after this. Hey, I want to say real quick, shout out to Gina. How you doing? Everybody go check her out. Gina Rep in the Base. You got a great podcast. Yep. And the Blue Collar Enlightenment shows in the house. Jonah, what's up, brother? Another great podcast. One of my favorite. And then my pops. Good evening to all of you wonderful people.
Yep.
Thanks, a lot of our... a lot of our top-notch fans in there thanking you guys for your service. That's what we do.
My dad never misses a show.
All right. Well, I got to chime in here because I think everybody who grew up in the 80s thinks they had the heyday of wrestling. But if you grew up late 90s, early 2000s, I was Stone Cold. That was when Goldberg was starting his whole run. The thing that made it different is we had the best toys. We had those, like, pillows that were like this big that you could punch.
Wrestling buddies.
Yeah.
I was going to say that is bonkers.
I had one of those
wrestling buddies.
I had an Ultimate Warrior one.
I feel like we had a Hulk Hogan one in our house. It might have been my brother Ben's. I'm not sure. My dad will probably chime in on that.
On YouTube, you can find it. There's a commercial. Sting literally just beats the shit out of a 10-year-old.
Yep.
In the commercial.
I saw that recently. Somebody tweeted that recently.
And then we also had the video games, which was big too, because you could go back in time and you could wrestle with Andre the Giant. You could get, I mean, just old school stuff. Rowdy, I'm gonna mess up the name.
Rowdy,
is that the Jim N64? Duggan.
Yeah, that was on N64.
And Hacksaw Jim Duggan just like got a burglar out of his house, didn't he?
Yeah.
We did it.
Yeah,
we did a deal on him.
He like choked the guy out.
Yeah.
And held
wrong
him
house,
down.
Motherfucker.
Yep.
Held and not to, also, do not forget The Rock.
Oh, The Rock. Well, I mean, how can you forget The Rock? He's still relevant.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, he's still in news and still making tons of money.
Oh yeah.
So tell me about the state of wrestling today. As John was just saying, the Attitude Era was huge, and then it seems like there was a little bit of a lull after those guys left.
Like 20 years.
And now it seems like the fan base has expanded. I see a lot more women wrestling. There used to be just a handful. Now it seems like there's a good dozen or so. what's the state of pro wrestling?
Yeah, so you had what was referred to as the Attitude Era. So WWE, then WWF at the time, World Wrestling Federation versus World Championship Wrestling. That was WCW on TNT. Turner owned that. And then you had Vincent Kennedy McMahon. Vince McMahon had so those were the two competing factions. You had some smaller organizations get eaten up. And that was the sort of the death of the territories. So then we fast forward to like the mid 90s into 99, 2000. And there's one show in town. That's all that's available. Like JT was talking about, as Japan slowly started to reorganize their wrestling. There were two wrestling organizations in Japan. Then there was one, and it was New Japan Wrestling. And you had the indie scene, and then sort of what we were talking about earlier, you had that CZW deathmatch style wrestling. Now you have GCW, Game Changer Wrestling, out of New Jersey. And little by little, like what you were saying, when you know wrestling is starting to become better or relevant, is when women start showing up, because they... not to bust on the rest of us, but they're generally smarter about what they're going to watch. They're smarter about what they're going to spend their money on. And who doesn't want to watch some dudes oiled up in their chonies rolling around? And now with the current state of wrestling, you've got WWE, and you know, Vince is out of control. And so now it's Triple H who's in charge. Then you have AEW, All Elite Wrestling, based out of Jacksonville, Florida, with Tony Khan, who's the son of the owner of the Jags. So there's constant influx of money. GCW up in Jersey. And then you've got Championship Wrestling out of Hollywood. So there's that whole scene. And then there's a bunch of other organizations that run just massive indie shows, and wrestling is alive and well in just about every city, just about every weekend. So it's really coming along. And like you said, the women are coming along for the ride, because there's some of the most wonderful wrestlers right now are women, and the marketability of them, like the Charlotte Flairs, the Monets, who was Sasha Banks, and now, you know, she was in The Mandalorian. She's been in movies as well. So it's alive and well. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, I like to say we're about to hit the next boom, because the Attitude Era was probably the last big boom where it was big mainstream and everything. And competition breeds success, I think. And WWE had such a monopoly on it for so long. I was a lapsed fan. Like, I was going to, you know, watch New Japan Wrestling. I was trying to find my outlet in other places. You know, just like you guys, after Stone Cold and The Rock, it was like, well, this is kind of boring now. I know what's going to happen. There's no competition, especially when WCW folded. Well, now AEW sprung up, and it's forcing WWE to be better and their storylines to be better. Because I'll admit, when we started doing the podcast, I was like, oh, I got to watch WWE too. But there's some good stuff going on in it, so I'm enjoying it now again, because I'm an AEW fan. He's a WWE fan. So we're kind of trying to convert each other, which is fun. But yeah, I definitely feel the boom is happening again. There's more talk. It's starting to become more mainstream again. The competition is out there. People are talking about it. Some of the things AEW is doing with some of the people they've got brought over from WWE, like Chris Jericho and Jon Moxley and that. And then, you know, WWE is kind of counter-programming it and coming out with better storylines and pushing the envelope. So it's definitely a good time if you're into wrestling and have been following it for a long time. It's also a good time to jump in if you haven't been following it for a while and you fell out, because there's some really good stuff going on for sure.
That's what it sounds like. Great entry point right now.
Is Are the storylines still as cut and dry as they used to be, like Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant or The Undertaker, the bad guys, good guys?
Elizabeth!
In my day, the big split off was the NWO Wolfpack split off from the NWO. And that, those were...
Oh, Midlife Crisis Hogan?
Yeah. Those guys were the best. Yeah. And they had Dennis Rodman.
Second take Hogan.
Oh my gosh, Rodman.
Yeah,
but do you still have those characters? Though that's the good, the all American character, the Sergeant Slaughter before, like pre horrible handshake with the Sheik.
yeah. You definitely see less of that cartoon character style. You know, I don't think we'll ever have a Randy Macho Man. Oh yeah. Ever again, which is unfortunate because man, freak out. That was my favorite thing.
You could put those guys on lunch pails and Saturday morning cartoons.
Those guys had red skin from steroids.
Yeah, they're whole back
for days.
For 4 days.
Yeah. But the storylines are so you sort of have to take your real brain and put it in a
We lost your
You
mic
have to
here.
Suspend disbelief, I believe, is what Ellie Jair is saying right now. That's what he was going for.
Yeah, so
and he's elaborating. Mic. Yeah, but he's still going.
he had issues when we recorded earlier this morning, too.
Man, he's into it. I admire his passion.
I feel like he's about to explain suspending disbelief the way
he's cursing now. He's trying to
my girlfriend talks about Spanish soap operas. No, you just have to suspend.
I'll pick up because I can kind of get where he's going. Maybe.
Freak out.
Are you back? Hey, you're back.
And we're back.
Bold move.
And he's back.
So the suspended belief, but then some of the storylines, you're like, oh, this is unbelievable. There's no way. And, you know, back in the day, you'd have some 80-year-old woman giving birth to this random hand, and you're like, this makes absolutely no sense. But now you've got, now with social media being what it is, you see some of the characters play out, and there's a term called kayfabe, which they live the character. So Undertaker was Undertaker 24/7. He retired. He's now Mark Calloway. Undertaker is dead, and he's, you know, moving on forward. So some of the stories are cut and dry in that you're in the ring, you've got your storyline, but then you've got AEW just came out with an all access show. So you can kind of get behind the curtain a little bit. There's been the Tales of the Territory and Dark Side of the Ring. So you see like, oh, this is, you know, this is what this person really was like. But some of the storylines in JT can, he's got his little crystal ball where he can tell what's about to happen. Where I'm like, oh yeah, that's not going down. And then next thing you know, last night I'm sitting there throwing the remote. So I'm on Amazon trying to buy a new remote. If anybody knows the serial number of a 70-inch TV,
that's awesome.
Yeah, one of the things storylines. So yes, you definitely have the black and white good guy bad guy, but like you said, the realism kind of creeps in because of social media and everything. But one of the things that I appreciate about AEW is not only do you have black and white storylines sometimes, they also spend 4 years building a storyline. So there's one going on right now that started when All Elite started about 4 years ago. And every show, they might have dropped it a little, but it's building back up. And now it's resurfacing now to where, like you said, last night, I was about 3 weeks ago, Bryan Danielson had left. And I said, he's going to show back up and he's going to turn heel. No way, no way. Showed up last night and turned heel. And I'm like, I told you, like, I love it. Cause I love picking on like the little details and watching the Easter eggs, because with AEW, somebody can say something and you think it's like they messed up their line or something. And then 3 weeks later, it's like, oh, they meant to do that. That's the story. And it's really neat. And what WWE did that I really appreciate is the bloodline, the storyline with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn and Roman Reigns and the Usos. Building that whole storyline is a lot like what I liked in AEW, which is why I'm appreciating WWE more, is because they're spending that time building that, not just a day-to-day occurrence. A lot like the Vince McMahon Stone Cold stuff, where that went on for a long time and it was that ongoing story. They're getting back to that kind of storytelling, and I really appreciate it.
And well, a that's lot of how you can get into it and stay in it.
Exactly. Right.
You become infested to the story.
Like the Days of Our Lives.
Right? Soap opera with muscles.
Yeah, exactly. Heavy Steps is excited. We're talking wrestling tonight.
Yeah.
He's fired up.
Got the Million Dollar Man up there. I see it.
I listened to...
He autographed something for me.
Nice. I listened to your WrestleMania predictions episode, and I was wondering how often are these guys right? Because you were in depth about step by step how things were going to happen, and then Ellie Jarrett's like, I hadn't even thought of that, but you're absolutely right. That is how it's going to go. So yeah. Does this usually play out how you think?
My track record's been pretty good. I enjoy it. I think I like to dig deep and read into the stories. WWE, I have a harder time because I haven't followed it as much, but AEW, I'm getting pretty good at it. And like you said, we did our WrestleMania one, and I blew his mind because, you know, I'm going to probably make all the fans that are WWE fans, I don't think the main storyline going in with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn is going to go the way people think. I think the Usos, the heels, are going to win. And I think it's going to build out into a storyline that they're going to continue on into SummerSlam and going forward. I'm hoping I'm right. This is the first time we actually sat down and like mapped it out to where I was like, all right, well, let me actually put my name behind this and write it on paper is what I think. So I'm hoping I'm right, but there's a lot of possibilities out there. And it's interesting because with AEW coming up, I used to be really good at it with WWE. I could always say, oh, so-and-so is going to win this match. And now with AEW, I can think about 18 different scenarios and then I'll throw another one in there. And I'm like, I didn't see that coming. And so I like the excitement of that. And I also like blowing Jared's mind there and making him go, wait, what happened?
Yeah, because it's not so much, you know, black hat, white hat. You're like, okay, yeah, the good guy. Everybody's got to go home happy. So you know the last match at the end of the night, this is who's going to do what to who. But there's, you know, the plot twists and, you know, there's tonight, the show has to go on. But whatever happens in this match needs to play out on Monday. So it's pretty exciting. And I would say that like prognosticators are probably 50-50 with whether they're right or wrong. And like what Jay Tilly's saying, the money that could be made or the additional programming that could continue with the way his WrestleMania card would go would totally probably some marriages would end in divorce. There's people that are spending a lot of money to go to Hollywood to expect a specific ending. And just like me, I went and spent money on 5 different t-shirts to do my wardrobe changes throughout WrestleMania. And there's going to be some folks that are going to go home a little upset, a little hungover because Sunday night when Cody Rhodes holds the beautiful belts over his head, that's going to be pretty phenomenal. But if not, oof, there's going to be some bets and some broken hearts in the City of Angels in Hollywood.
Wait, so Jay Tilly knows what's going to happen most of the time and we can bet on it. Can we bet on this?
It's supposedly coming. There's talks that WWE is trying to make wrestling a legalized betting thing.
Yeah.
No so way. How could you do that?
You can't. Yeah, you can't. There's no way.
You could fix it. It's too easy to be fixed.
Yeah. The minute somebody leaks a script or a play card.
Braun Strowman lives fucking 2 miles from here. Like right up the road.
Who's going to win?
We just go to to the Red Apple, eat biscuits and gravy. We'll be billionaires. No way.
Yeah.
I was just looking at, I've been staring at Eric going, he knows a fucking offshore book that would take these bets.
As soon as he started talking about his accuracy percentage, I was like,
me too. I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, we need to get on this.
How accurate? Like how accurate?
Yeah. I saw that article the other day.
The house type accurate?
Yeah, like at least a Sex Panther rate of 60%.
I mean, 60% I could say that
of the time it works every time.
Yeah. Right. I could say that and then you guys go bet and they go, hey, let's flip the script and change it. So it's one of those like I don't ever see him make it a legally betting thing. It's so scripted and there's no way. Like, there's no way they could do it, in my opinion.
There's too many people who know the defined outcome already.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The minute Vegas sees the money line, I mean, they're gonna go, "Hey, Connecticut, we need you to mix the card up." Okay, no problem.
Hey, Steps is a professional handicapper. He says we can hit it on Bet Online and Bovada.
UFC, that's effing crazy.
That just seems like a
scam. I actually think DraftKings. I think
we do all of our betting on BetUS, on Bet Online. I'm all of ours.
Really? Yeah, because I think DraftKings just partnered up where you can do betting through DraftKings on wrestling.
One second.
I don't know exactly how it all works.
Look at this. I got Hell in a Cell match. I got
what?
Showcase Fatal 4-Way Tag Team match.
So I don't know that you can bet.
Singles.
I don't know if you can bet on the winners or you bet. Like, I haven't looked. I don't know. It'd be interesting, though. I'd be, man, now you got me wanting to check it out.
You guys were saying Logan Paul might lose, huh? Or win.
I think
you
Logan
were split on that.
We
you
were
guys
split,
were
on,
split
that.
On Logan Paul.
Yeah, I think I could see Logan Paul going over and winning it. And then depending on if they've signed, some of the free agents are out there, having Logan Paul as the first challenger for Cody Rhodes. Because you've
you
got
guys made for wrestling.
Oh, yeah. And you've got an automatic heel that everybody hates going against your top babyface. Like, the minute he comes out, you've set that, like you said, that good guy, bad guy storyline easily fixed, ready to go.
Allegedly, guys, Logan Paul's contract is up, though, so.
Allegedly.
I have some exciting news here. The undisputed WWE Tag Team Champion, the Usos, are plus 475 underdog.
Can you see that?
No.
He says.
It's small, but yeah, that's crazy.
Wow. I'm going to put $5.20 American on the
You
Usos.
Can really bet on the, I had no idea you could do that.
Hey, do you know this?
Man, that's crazy.
We're about to destroy this.
Yeah, do you know wrestling, bro? Because we're about to rock this
I mean,
shit.
Hey, I am not gonna say that I am gonna give betting advice at all, because I like to fantasy book. So fantasy booking and and picking bet winners is a different thing.
Their favorite favored to be over 3.5 title changes at WrestleMania.
Cody Rhodes is minus 500. Roman Reigns plus 300. So does Roman Reigns have a shot?
I don't
think
so.
$5?
No.
I don't think he
does.
Alpha Academy 4-way tag team match. Alpha Academy's plus 1,400.
Yeah, that's a no way.
Yeah, I don't see them winning. On that one.
Is Rey Mysterio fighting his child?
Yes, he is.
What?
That is sanctioned child abuse right there.
Yep.
That's what that is.
I got plus money on every one of these. So is Braun going to win this?
I think it's going to be Braun and Ricochet, personally.
I can get plus 100 on that.
That's even,
That's even money.
Yeah.
There you go. That's funny.
How about, does Edge, can he win?
So this is another one we were torn on. I believe it's going to be Finn Balor, personally.
So does Vegas.
Yeah, I think the story going forward makes more sense to have Finn Balor win it. If you're going to continue on his whole Judgment Day and everything, why would you put their leader out, especially if the rumors are that Edge is getting ready to leave?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, but the
Edge
is it the
same Edge that I remember when I was?
It is.
Wow, that guy's got to be crippled.
It's him, Edge and Christian. That's the same guys.
Jeez.
With the Edge and Finn, so Edge's contract is just about up, so there could be the emotional piece where they're going to want Edge to stick around and not go to AEW and get back together with his old tag team partner, Christian. And he goes over at WrestleMania, gets promised a year of dream matches before he moves on, so WWE can make a little more money on the old guy.
All right. Listen to this. I can get plus 250 and it's fucking John Cena. You always take plus money with John Cena, right?
Negative. I don't think John Cena is going to win.
Not at WrestleMania.
Austin Theory.
I think it's going to be Austin Theory.
Yeah. Austin Theory, that's going to be his WrestleMania moment. I heard you guys say and talk about WrestleMania moment a few times. What is that exactly for the casual?
I'll let you take that one, Jared.
So the WrestleMania moment is a childhood dream coming true. So you've been on this worldwide trek for years and years, and you've always come just so close. And there you are. It's WrestleMania. It's a moment of a lifetime. You're in the main event, and you're going one-on-one with your complete nemesis, and you finally get to topple him. You climb to the middle rope or the top rope, and you're holding that title above your head for the first time, and everybody's with you, and they're crying or carrying on, whatever it is, or that complete disbelief when Undertaker lost to Brock Lesnar. That was one of Lesnar's WrestleMania moments, and it's something that only happens literally once in a lifetime, whether it's, you know, two African-American women headlining WrestleMania, and one of them ends up winning the world title for the first time in her career. So it was a WrestleMania moment, historic event, and then Bianca Belair comes out the victor and holds the title up and says, I will forever be a champion, and I've forever won it at WrestleMania.
One of the biggest ones to talk about is Hogan slamming Andre. Like, that was a huge WrestleMania moment. So that's kind of to compare it to, yeah.
So that was the WrestleMania. There was a few WrestleManias that we'd rent.
Oh, I used to wear out the tapes.
Oh, yeah. You went to the Circle K up the street from our house, every WrestleMania tape. It looked like it'd been in my bedroom for years because it had been.
It had been.
It's over and over.
Yeah. It's funny. Jared and I have been talking about like something we can start doing to add more shows. And we've been talking about going back and starting at WrestleMania 1 and doing a review show. Like, all right, how does it hold up today? Where are they at now? What stemmed off from these? Where did their careers go?
Were they more brutal back then than what they are now? Are they more physiqued? Or what do you notice difference?
Better? So it depends on what you consider better. The old school wrestling style is a lot more storytelling in the ring. So there's a lot more slow, methodical pacing to it. Whereas nowadays there is some of that, but nowadays they have the high speed, like adrenaline junkie move, spot. And there's not as much selling as there is. There used to be in the old days. So the old days, you'll see a lot of those chin locks where they'll hold them for a few minutes, rest holds, they call them now. But so it has evolved for sure. And you
the
talk
cardio kind of, probably for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because those guys back in when we were young, all of us probably except for John were younger, they partied.
They were hard drinking cokeheads. Yes. Yeah. They weren't acrobats.
Smoking in the locker room.
Although,
there was a very few acrobats like
Tito Santana,
Superfly Snuka. There was a
Santana.
Few of those guys.
That's like, what I was thinking of. Superfly Snuka.
Yeah.
You would do that.
Yeah.
But Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Most of the guys were like just roided to their like their skin's about to pop. They look like, you know, and they just partied with cocaine.
Fucking Legion of Doom.
How their hearts made it, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Most didn't.
Most are slowly, you know, day by day, month by month, passing away. Unfortunately, neither of the Road Warriors are with us. You know, Ultimate Warrior is passed on, and it's all that wear and tear, that lifestyle that they led. And, you know, one of the characters, his moniker was the Milkman, Jake the Milkman Milliman. And he had a physique that only a mother would love. And I tell you, it was that was the start of wrestling. And WrestleMania 1, if you sat down and watched it, you'd be like, what, you know, who are these people, blah, blah, blah. Because there was no storyline. It was just Vince was like, all right, I'm going to mortgage my house. I'm having WrestleMania 1.
Put on these overalls.
Yeah. And next thing you know, Hillbilly Jim is born and, you know, Haystack.
The Bushwhackers.
You're going to be the guy with a snake.
Yeah. Who, by the way, hates snakes.
Yeah. Jake the Snake Roberts hates snakes. I've listened to him on a few podcasts. He's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. He hated snakes and they gave him the snake gig and he was mortified, but he did it.
Was the blindfold match with him at WrestleMania? I'm remembering he got blinded for a while there, Jake the Snake.
I think it was a WrestleMania
somebody had to wear
match.
A blindfold to even the stakes.
Yeah.
And they What a task. Go out there in a blindfold and wrestle and entertain these thousands of people.
I had a Burmese python named Boss because of Jake the Snake Roberts.
I wonder how many snakes.
My mom probably hated that guy.
Damn you, Jake.
Hey, yeah. But let me tell you, like guys like Mankind, a lot of these old school guys, and I'll admit I haven't watched it in a long time, but they, I mean, these guys got jacked up. Like they wrestled with heart and they beat the shit out of each other during the pay-per-views. Yeah. Oh my Mick God. Foley. Mankind, like nobody, my Lord, talk about selling it. Like they were doing it.
I mean, he legit ripped off his ear in a match.
Lost the earlobe. He's since had both knees and both hips replaced.
I bet.
Recently,
guys jumping off cages.
Yeah.
Going through. Oh my God.
Going through the middle of it. Yeah. And that was an accident. They didn't expect that. It was a interview.
These guys are big. Yeah. Right? Have you guys met him? You guys look like pretty big guys. These wrestlers are huge. Triple H is huge.
Oh yeah. 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 They're big dudes. I did a little bit of time in a wrestling school in Tampa a long time ago, like 30 years ago, I think it was. It was before I joined the military. But I met the Giant at the time, and that dude is huge. Not Andre the Giant, but the newer Giant, Big Show or Paul White.
Yeah,
that guy, man. Show. His hand was like the size of my head. It was insane. And they're big dudes. And nowadays, I would say they're not as big. Like you've got a lot of the smaller guys now.
So that's kind of what I noticed. I'm like, they've gone all the way back full circle to Von Erichs.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Normal looking guys.
Yeah.
They're not like their biceps the size of my head.
Yeah. Wait, Von Erich, is that the Iron Claw? Yeah. That movie that's going to come out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
The Iron Claw, though, that was the Sheik, right?
I think the Von Erichs were doing it first. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, the Fritz Von Erich, he was the one who started him, and there was the Baron who used to wrestle in Georgia Championship Wrestling. He had one too, and they were the start of the Claw. And
they wrestled with no shoes, I remember.
Yeah, Kevin used to wrestle with zero shoes, wow. And now Riddle does something very similar to that. And I think he's about the only one. Snuka did it, but Snuka did it.
Yep.
And right now, I think Riddle is the only barefoot wrestler.
So parts unknown.
Give me your all-time favorite wrestler, and then who's your favorite today? Like when you sit down to watch, who were we rooting for? If me and Eric sat down to watch wrestling, who are we going to want to watch?
So that's
but, and then your all-time favorite, of course.
All right. I'll go first on this one because I'm jazzed up. So all-time favorite, Bret the Hitman Hart. I'm a Bret Hart guy. Always have.
I had the glasses as a young man.
Yeah, I had the glasses as a young man. I've got a jersey signed. I've met him. He was at a WrestleCon here recently, so I've got like a bunch of stuff signed. I've always been a Hart guy. His storytelling in the ring and the fact that he could carry anybody he was in there with and make them look like a superstar was great. So all-time, easy one, Bret Hart. Nowadays, if I were to tell you to watch somebody, it would depend. You've got... If you want somebody who is just despicable, going to buy and hate everything he says and is a great heel, Heavy Steps just mentioned MJF. Probably one of the best on the mics you're ever going to see. Can carry a match like none other. For character-wise, he's probably one up there. Then you've got Kenny Omega, who is a lot like Bret Hart. Whoever you put him in the ring with looks fantastic. The guy does athletic stuff that is unbelievable. He was wrestling at... Like he said, like 80% health over the last few years, and you couldn't tell. Like the guy was in there just taking bumps and doing crazy things. Man, like if I had to pick one, it would be hard because I'd want to talk about Bryan Danielson too, who's amazing right now, or Daniel Bryan as he was in the WWE. So I would probably say those three are my top three right now.
Nice.
Yeah, and for me being, I'm a big, if you look over my shoulders, the North American and American titles. Sergeant Slaughter actually had his own title made, and it was the America's Champion. There were only three made over the years, and I contacted a company, and
one of three.
So there's four made now. So this is one that I contacted a company, sent them the diagram of it, and they cut it for me and sent it to me. And so Sergeant Slaughter, just because of the military affiliation and I grew up in a military family, and I'm just a huge, huge fan. Whether he was a heel or a face, thought it was incredible. You know, shout out to him and everything that he's doing. He's got his own like con that he does, which is a convention, and there's a whole storyline. He was a wrestler making tons of cash. G.I. Joe was like, hey, we have this cartoon we think you'd fit in with. We'll give you a bunch of cash. He was like, yo, Joe, went on and did that. And, mm-hmm. you know, I thought it was absolutely, you know, fantastic for the folks that are doing it today. Up until a few days ago, it was going to be cut and dry. I'm a huge Cody Rhodes mark. And for those that aren't wrestling fans, a mark is someone that no matter what that person does, you're just like, oh, he's just fantastic. up until recently, it was Cody Rhodes. But there is a dude who's coming out of Mexico in AAA, and his name is Vikingo. He is the son of – he's a second-generation wrestler. And this guy is about 5'8"-ish. With his gear on, he's probably 170. And Vikingo, if you Google Vikingo versus Omega, you'll hop on to Twitter and start following No Shave Man Cave. And I'm dropping matches any chance I can stumble on them, whether it's on YouTube or AAA or whatever. And yeah, so Vikingo is the guy to watch right now. Right behind him is soon to be your world universal undisputed champion of WWE, Cody Rhodes, and all-time favorite would be Sergeant Slaughter, minus my the guy that brought me to wrestling, Jerry the King Lawler.
Nice.
Yeah, we're big Sergeant Slaughter guys.
The day Sergeant Slaughter followed me on Twitter was awesome. Yes. I was like, this is it.
Very exciting.
He tweeted me when I posted the photo of that, and he was originally coming to Jacksonville for one of the River City WrestleCons, and I was like, yo, I will be first in line.
Hell yeah.
Jay Tilly will remind you that that he got put in the camel clutch.
Yeah, he about knocked me out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I posted the pictures on Twitter. Like, I met him, and same thing. Like, I was a huge Sergeant Slaughter fan growing up, too. And
yeah, until he did that, huh?
Well, I still loved it. It was great because he did this poster, and he, like, personalized it, and, like, you know, Hogan sucks and screw Cobra Commander and all this stuff. And he's like, do you want the Cobra clutch? I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. Man, he locked that in. I'm like, all right, this is cool. Then he cinched it up, and I'm like, my daughter started laughing. She's like, Dad, you look panicked. I'm like, I couldn't breathe. Like, that was legit. Like, I'm like, okay, all right, cool. Like, I got it. It's real.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun, though.
Going back to your guy, Bret Hart. Now, he got screwed out of a championship at one point. He was supposed to win the match.
Yep.
And as far as
WrestleMania 8.
And he ended up losing the match in sort of a shady business. Is that a thing that happens still? Or how many times has that happened in wrestling?
I would say that's probably the most famous time that's happened.
Oh, can you explain it a little bit?
Is that what a shoot is?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, technically it was a shoot ending to it. But more usually what a shoot is that's your, somebody punching somebody for real and everything. So that one was kind of a weird one because it was a work for everybody except for him. You know, like Bret Hart didn't know what the ending was going to be. To explain a little, I'll actually give it to Jared. He's kind of more the historian. My brain don't work as good. I don't remember stuff as much. But, he could probably go into a little more details on it. But I do remember just being a Bret Hart guy and how he got screwed out of it. And I've heard some of the stories, the backstage is spitting on McMahon and everything. But I don't know, Jared, do you want to give some of the little more of the screw job story?
Montreal screw job. That's what
it's called. So Montreal screw job, when wrestlers will continuously wrestle with one another as part of a storyline, it's called a program. So HBK, Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels was in a program with Bret Hart. Bret Hart was the execution of excellence, the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be. And the Heartbreak Kid was what was literally bringing women to professional wrestling. And that's when you know you're over, because you start seeing women coming to the crowd again because they're smarter, a little more frugal.
There's no ravishing Rick Rude, but
yeah. Oh yeah. He was another good one. But so the screw job was Montreal. And what was going to happen was Bret Hart had talked to the producers, and the producers are people in the back that help the wrestlers kind of orchestrate how the match may or may not go. Oh, you can't do this. You can't do that. Nobody goes over the top rope, no pile drivers. And this is how the finish is going to go. All right, love, you got to go by. Clink. Bret Hart didn't want the match to end the way Heartbreak Kid and Vince McMahon did, because Bret Hart's contract was up. He wanted to win because he's from Canada.
Yeah.
He wanted to win. He was going to do what's referred to as the job and go out the right way the next night on Monday Night Raw. Instead, Vince took it into his own hands and said, hey, here's what's going to happen. And Vince McMahon signaled to the referee and to the bell ring, Bubba, who then in turn announced the winner of the match and new world champion. Allegedly, Heartbreak Kid did not know about this, and there's varied reports. But yeah, so the ending was a unscripted finish because Vince allegedly was the only one who knew and screwed Bret Hart. And the next couple days later, Bret Hart left the WWF and went to WCW. And on his way out, Bret spit in his face and then punched him in the eye and went away mad.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Not a Motley Crue guy, I guess.
Yeah. That was,
don't go away, man. Just go away.
That was like that and Chris Benoit. Those were the two that I was like, whoa, crazy shit.
Yeah, the Canadian Crippler, the old CTE. That was that was something else. Oof.
Riddled. Well, before we get out of here, let's talk a little bit more about your podcast. I noticed, and also you guys brought it up earlier, you do these candid conversations and sort of just a mental health episode.
Yep.
I think that's great. Was that something you decided to do right away? And are you getting a good reception from fans and fellow veterans on that? I imagine you are.
Yeah, it's one of the things that when we started right away, it's one of the things we want to talk about. And we try to end every episode with a take care of yourselves and take care of each other. We like to give the 988 crisis line out. The 22nd was always a date that we're gonna drop it on. I try to get them to release at 0222 every night on that 22nd, so they kind of go out. Just I'm goofy like that, but yeah, that's something we always wanted to be a focus. And to be honest, as we grow and get bigger, if we actually start making some money doing this, we plan on you know giving to those organizations to help veterans and help get mental health out there more. Going to Wounded Warrior projects. Hosting events. I would love to, you know, get with WWE or AEW when they're in town and get a group of veterans together and go, you know, just to kind of hang out. One of the other things we're going to start doing is kind of hosting things at the local VAs and, you know, resume writing for guys that are trying to get back on their feet.
Nice.
Or whatever we can do to help our veteran community. And I would say that our most watched shows are probably those 22nd shows, you know, so far.
Yeah, nobody absolutely knows what vets need better than fellow vets.
Right. Right. Yeah. When we first started conjuring up this thing that we wanted to do, it, you know, it came to me sort of in a dream. And I was like, dude, I had this dream. And my original name was Vintage Championship Wrestling. And I wanted it to be a bunch of old timers coming out and putting on a show for the fans. And we started talking. Next thing you know, it turned into Veterans Championship Wrestling, VCW. And then we turned into the No Shave Man Cave. And, you know, our mission statement was at some point in this journey of ours, we will be able to give back to veterans in some form or fashion. And right now, being able to do these shows on the 22nd and do our buddy checks and do all that, that's very, very near and dear to our heart. So absolutely.
Yeah,
these are amazing. That's awesome.
And you guys really know wrestling,
dude. Yeah,
I mean, you really know wrestling.
Dude, that episode, the one you just released, I think, probably yesterday about WrestleMania. It's in depth. Like, these guys know every storyline of every
game. And we did, I didn't know we could bet on it because I got some parlays pulled up. I think we can hit some of these parlays, JT. No bullshit.
I didn't know either, so you brought it up. Now I'm going, that. You had it up, and I'm like, leading him. I might take that bet.
Every day. I'll be like,
do a quick screenshot right here.
Hey, shout out to Coach. Hey, your Orioles. Beating the Sox today, 10-9.
There we go.
Hey, you guys, watch out for the fucking Brewers. If we can learn how to hit a baseball, it's over.
Did they forget how to hit baseballs?
You did today.
Yeah. Oh, do they have open bar Stroman or something or what?
Yeah. What? Just out there giving them colds, Dave. Just
yeah. What other sports are you guys passionate about?
For me, NFL.
Tell us your team.
Who's a Dolphins fan?
Oh,
Dolphins! Yeah, I'm a huge Dolphins fan. Grew up in Miami.
We had Dolph Freaky on our Super Bowl special. She did Fantasy Jeopardy.
Oh, cool! Yeah.
Oh, dang!
Cool. With who that from Cincinnati, the fan of the year, and the Tennessee Spider-Man.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she's cool as fuck. We're buddies with Kamish. We have also do Super Football or Super Fantasy Sports.
Okay.
Corporation. Anyways.
Yeah, I'm a huge Dolphins fan.
Yeah, Fantasy Sports Corp.
Yeah, Fantasy Sports Corporation. YouTube over there, and he is a major. He's a season ticket holder down in Miami.
Oh, nice.
He lives down in Florida too. Big Dolphins fan. What do you guys? What do you think about Tua? Where are you at? How you feel about this team?
So I'm a Tua supporter.
But he can't fucking get tackled because he doesn't know how to fall. Since Alabama, looks like a train wreck on his head. Every tackle.
100%.
I've never seen anything like it. I don't know what it is. They got to teach that.
It's kind of funny being a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
And kind of doing the school. I know how to take a fall. And then being in martial arts. And I watch him every time. I'm like, oh, my God, tuck your chin. Like, it's do so something. And so I actually think the fact that he went and did judo classes and is like trying to learn how to take falls should help him this season. If he can stay healthy, I think the Dolphins are terrifyingly good. Yeah, if he can stay healthy,
quarterback, but
hashtag if he can stay healthy,
one more head injury. I don't think he'll play again, bro.
He's the worst at falling.
Alijah, do you agree though? How many concussions can he take before you just got to step away?
Yeah. It's definitely one of those that, you know, I agree. Like I watch him, and like you said, he can't fall. And every time he takes a hit, I'm like, "Oh God, this is the one." Okay, no, we got back up.
This is a big one, Weezy. Yes.
I think I'm coming, Elizabeth. I think John and I were both hoping that they would go get Lamar Jackson because that would just be fun to watch.
Yeah, I agree.
I think Lamar wants to play there.
Yeah, and that was the rumor, but I think he's asking a lot, and I think wasn't the Ravens asking a lot to take him? So I think the cap
get a guy.
That's my thing is get a guy. Like I don't know what I think this season obviously will be make or break for him. I think Mike White coming in will help a little bit, but he's no Lamar Jackson. So
he's no starting quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. He's not a starting quarterback. So it's going to be
Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah. he's Mike White.
Definitely no Mitch.
You know, I'm pumped for the team. I think picking up Jalen Ramsey is a huge get for the defense. I think him and
Vic Fangio.
The pieces are there if Tua can stay healthy. If Tua don't stay healthy, we're done.
Ramsey could not be more excited to be there either.
Yeah, he looked really pumped.
Yeah, and for me, I'm a huge fantasy football fan. I'm down with college football, pro football, go G-Men and Danny Dimes with getting that bag. And next we'll get Saquad locked up and – I think OBJ is going to sign with the Jets, and we'll see what the AFC East looks like. Buffalo comes out with the number one seed in the AFC, and it's a pretty interesting season next year, depending on what the NFC can do to get things back in line. I don't think it'll be the 49ers, but it's going to be a fun season this year.
Fucking degenerate, you fucking kids at home.
I think there's maybe one or two teams in the NFC who shouldn't aggressively go after Lamar Jackson, but everybody else, like the NFC is wide open.
Yeah.
You go like Angeles Vikings go get Lamar Jackson. They're immediately the favorite.
Cause they didn't extend Kirk Cousins. So there's that. And
yeah, I'm kind of really worried that's going to happen.
Yeah.
It paid him a little bit of something, but it wasn't exciting.
And I think they
he was on a 3-year, $90 million deal, right? And that's now done.
Right. But they did pay him to stick around. I'm just saying. They did.
Giants, your Giants did go get Darren Waller, which kind of pissed me off because I really like Dan Bellinger. I think he could be a top five, top 10 tight end in the league. And also he's on my dynasty team. So now Darren Waller just really crushed that. I mean, the guy got his orbital bone caved in and he came back like a few games later. That's my kind of guy. Show me Darren Waller. Darren Waller missed a whole season on a hamstring.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I you know, it's good that they went and got another receiver. They don't have a featured wideout. Sterling Shepard is so-so. There
is New York your team?
Yes, Giants. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. We know some Giants fans.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see with whether it's through veterans or some kind of draft day trade, but they gotta shore up that wide receiver core and get Saquad locked up for a couple of years.
Yeah, you gotta get Dan Jones a couple big ass targets.
Yeah. Yeah, he's gonna need
you like help. That side? You like Danny Dimes? Is that your guy? Are you sold? You're in?
Are you glad that he signed that?
What's that?
Are you glad that he signed that deal?
I do. I am glad because you know, you knew what you were getting with him. You knew with the coach and the offensive coordinator and who was doing what to who and how it was gonna happen.
You wow, bring Eli new... Manning really just kind of lulled you guys to sleep, didn't he?
Yeah.
I'm so jealous. So that's crazy. They got such a man's man for a coach. We got this short little metrosexual obsessed with his beard and his hair being straight. Brian Daboll's out there in a tracksuit, big aviator sunglasses on. Got a brewski.
Want Dan Campbell. We all wanted Dan Campbell.
Yes. I saw a report from the owners' meetings that Brian Daboll was the first guy to crack a beer at like 10:42 a.m.
He hopped out of his really truck, had his own six-pack, and it was go time.
Yeah.
That was a home run hire for that team. That just their blue collar, hard nosed football team again.
Yes, yeah, and the defense I think is going to be really good. They're sort of embodying the head coach and getting
you guys will make the playoffs because Dallas sucks and the Skins are the Skins. Oh, whatever.
Yeah,
they get smacked around. Let's talk about a real team, Green Bay Packers. We are gonna hand you Rodgers just so we have something to laugh at in the press conference, and then we're about to take this entire league over.
Yeah. I saw Aaron Jones out there. Dude, I saw Aaron Jones out there catching passes from Jordan Love in his backyard.
It's over.
They're already hanging out.
It's over.
What's in your guys' cups over there?
Bears are coming up, and the Lions are coming up faster.
We only
the Lions will be a good story this year, I think.
Oh, yeah.
The strides that they were making to move forward, what the Bears will do in the draft, you know, will or will not affect what they do. And then the Green Bay Packers with some of the holes and losing Rodgers and having to sort of start over with Love, that will be super interesting.
What's going to happen there?
Rodgers has got one foot out the door and already started packing his stuff to go play for the Jets.
I think his stuff is in the back. Threw it out back. I don't think.
Yeah.
We're like, while you were in the cave, we were moving your ass out.
Yeah. Sending in trash bags. Here you go.
Yeah, they're figuring out.
You and Blue Neon Moon, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
My prediction for the NFC North is 11 or 12 wins will be enough to win the division. But no team will be below 500. They're all going to be like 9-8, 8-10. Wow.
It's going to be a battle.
I don't know if that's mathematically possible, but it's just going to be a sea of mediocrity.
Hey, can
a lot of B minus teams in the NFC North this year.
Just figuring it out.
Hey, John, I'm going to play this for you, but this is absolutely Aaron Rodgers on his way out of Green Bay.
Like a 20-year-old with a spool.
This is him on his way out of town.
The fuck is that? Shit! I'm dying in this fucking country-ass, fucked-up town.
That's my favorite YouTube video.
The professional reporter voice he was using before that.
Yeah. That was awesome. The transit.
He hates Green Bay. I'm sold that he fucking hates Green Bay. Oh, yeah. But I think that he has been coddled his entire career, and he's about to stand up in front of the fucking New York media and get it. And they don't run their questions by your mama first. They just ask them. They're going to be like, what's the first five questions?
Are you vaccinated?
Are you vaccinated?
This is gonna I'm going go on a great. Retreat. I'm yeah. going on a retreat.
Oh my God.
Yep.
He's exactly. going to go out. He's going to go some deuce, pull some monk shit and go silent for the.
He's going to have the stupidest haircut. Oh, guaranteed.
They're not going to embrace that. They'll be like, bro.
He's going to, maybe he'll go back to the Hitler Youth haircut with his shake on the sides and then combed on the top.
Gosh. Yeah. Yowza. What's the over and under? He says he spells R E L A.
Right. Relax.
Gosh. Oh, well, yeah, we could slander Aaron Rodgers all night. We really could, but we should probably get out of here eventually. But first, thanks for joining us. Thanks for giving us like an hour plus here and educating us about wrestling. Let the people know where they can find you on the internets and podcast apps.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So we are on pretty much every podcast app you got. Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, you name it. You can find us. Just look up the No Shave Man Cave. And on social media, at No Shave Man Cave, Twitter, not Facebook. I lied. I didn't do a Facebook. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube is coming along. We're starting to try to get more and more on YouTube. I'm trying to learn the video editing stuff to start putting our podcasts up there also. But at No Shave Man Cave. If you hit us in Google, actually, we come up on like the top Google search too, which is kind of
nice.
Cool. So it's kind of a nice, unique search to look for it. But yeah, and it's hosted by Acast, so Acast has got us also.
Yeah, you hit the Google search, type in No Shave Man Cave, we come in right under Manscaped.
You nice. Don't make it weird. Podcast.
Yeah, there it is. So very cool.
Outstanding. That's a sponsorship I can see coming soon.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Sign me up. I'll figure out how to use the product. I've got a mirror. I cut my own hair, so I'm sure I can figure that out too.
There you go. So I'm sure they got beard oils and shit like that.
Yeah, I'm go sure. Over
PatriotSportsNow.com. Find all of our stuff at PatriotsPod on the Twitter. Is there anything I'm forgetting? Okay, then. This is where I just say be good to each other. Until next time. Hey. People are being assholes lately.
Yeah, don't be an asshole.
Say be good to each other at the end of every show, and it sounds like just words at this point, but I actually mean it. Don't be an asshole. Be good to each other. Chris, kick the outro music.
Also, while I have you, it's about to be spring. Go smoke some ribs and take it to your neighbors. Just say hi. It's been a long winter. We all need to calm down, bring the temperature down, take a breath.
Yeah. Smoking ribs.
Smoking meat.
You've been listening to Patriot Sports Radio. If you're sick of all the national talking heads and biases of mainstream sports media, like we are, this show is for you. We hope you enjoyed it. Make sure to like, rate, and review. And we'll be back soon. For more content and merch, hit up www.patriotsportsnow.com. Find us on Twitter at Patriots Pod, on Instagram and Facebook at Patriots Sports Now, and on Getter, Rumble, and YouTube at Patriots Sports. Take care, and we'll see you next time.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.